Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here You can also call in your prayer request at that same number. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
God. Father in heaven, thank you for this new day. Thank you for the opportunity to begin again. We choose to press forward and keep believing for the dreams and desires you placed in our hearts. We trust you today with everything that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. And you can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. To God be the glory. So at this time, I will play another selection. Praise God.
That he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. What will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you.
Like you, what will Jesus do? want to know what he looks like. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Praise be to God. Everlasting God, you are our God forever and ever. You will be our God even to the end. In you there is no beginning and there is no end. We are never afraid that you will abandon us by leaving us unexpectedly. Neither will you cease to exist. We know you now, and we will know you in eternity. And even so, for then we will see you face to face. You are worthy of all praise and admiration. You are worthy of our highest honor and deepest respect. You do not sit in time, but you are outside of time, inviting us to join you in the drama of the ages unending. How vast are your thoughts, stretching beyond what any mind could comprehend. You know all things, and in you, like itself, will never end. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Belongs to you.
God. Dear God, we will never forget to thank you for keeping us and our family safe through the night. We managed to rise up this morning and see another beautiful new day because of your unfailing love for us. We may not know what will happen today, but we are certain that we can trust in your goodness and faithfulness, and we are confident that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. May you bless this day, Lord, with healing and answered prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson today in basic theology. So in the meantime, I will play another selection while we're waiting. Praise be to God. All to the glory of God. Amen.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. The fullness of his blessing, nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain. As far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and he's coming in the clouds.
Restore our souls brand new.
All to the glory God, and he deserves all the praise and all the honor. Lift up your holy hands, all to the glory of God. Come on and sing along with me. Hallelujah. Give God the glory.
God, and now it is time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, The Importance of Prayer, amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, and it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keep alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving. To God be the glory. Prayer is the lifeblood of your relationship with the Lord. But perhaps you wonder how important it really is. Will you miss God's plans if you don't pray? Will you lose his favor or blessing? While the Lord is not dependent on our prayers to achieve his plans, we miss out terribly when we don't pray. It is through prayer that he reveals himself to us, heals our wounds, teaches us our identity, and involves us in his work. So, in a sense, your prayer or lack thereof can impact what God does. There are times when his purpose are set and nothing can change them. Of course, such as the promises he's giving. But at other times, our lack of communication is with him, means we're missing the blessings he has for us. James 4 and 2 even tells us, you do not have because you do not ask. Your prayers can have a tremendous impact on your own faith and well-being, as well as others. You have an awesome privilege to kneel before your all-powerful Heavenly Father and know that he listens and will respond. So don't waste that blessing. Learn from God and receive what he longs to give you. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. So let us pray. Jesus, teach us to take full advantage of the wonderful privilege of prayer. We want to know you. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. So again, at this time, I will play another selection. Praise be to God. Because our God is truly awesome. Amen.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. This, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Give strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say,
awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say,
awesome.
Come on and say it. Think about it, Savior of the whole world,
giver of salvation,
by his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify, you know he's awesome, say it. Come on and lift your voice and say,
Awesome.
Come on, somebody.
of God.
Everlasting God, we confess that we can hardly grasp what our life may be like in 5 years or 10. To comprehend a God who exists before time and will experience no end is beyond our capabilities. Forgive us for not fully appreciating your power, intellect, and character. The universe is merely a pebble in your hand, and yet we get so consumed by what we hear on the news or see at the workplace or experience in our relationships. A God who is everlasting is not easily overwhelmed because you see it all. You know how it began, and you know how each situation will end. You will always be there at the everlasting God, as the everlasting God. Forgive us for worrying rather than trusting in your wisdom and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. And you can also call in your prayer request at that same number. Praise the Lord. At this time, I will play another selection.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Anything you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. A
whole
king, a
carpenter.
You are the
living
word. Awesome ruler.
Gentile redeemer. God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger.
In 1 Peter 2 and 16, and the CSB says, as God's slaves, live as free people, but don't use your freedom as a way to conceal evil. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Life. It's a series of choices. Each day, we make countless decisions that can bring us closer to God or not. When we live according to God's commandments, we earn for ourselves the abundance and peace that He intends for our lives. But when we turn our back upon God by ignoring him or by disobeying him, we bring needless pain and suffering upon ourselves and our families. Question: do you want God's peace and his blessing? Then obey him. When you are faced with a difficult choice or a powerful temptation, seek God's counsel and trust the counsel he gives. Invite God into your heart and live according to his commandments. And when God speaks to you through that little quiet voice that he has placed in your heart, listen. When you do, you will be blessed today and tomorrow and forever. And you discover that happiness means living in accordance with your beliefs, no exceptions. There may be no trumpet sounds or loud applauses when we make a right decision. Just a calm sense of resolution and peace. We have a decision to make, to turn away from sin or to be miserable and suffer the consequences of continual disobedience. When your good behavior speaks for itself, don't interrupt. Although God causes all things to work together for good for his children, he still holds us accountable for our behavior. Amen? Study the Bible and observe how the person behaved and how God dealt with them. There is explicit teaching on every condition of life. How can you guard your steps? By walking with Jesus every day of your life. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 in the CSB says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Amen? In 1 Timothy 2:2, in the CSB says, lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. 2 Peter 1:5-6 in the CSB says, for this very reason, make every effort to supply your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness. And Colossians 2:6 in the CSB says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, this world has countless temptations, distractions, interruptions, and frustrations. When we allow our focus to drift away from you and your word, we suffer. But when we turn our thoughts and prayers to you, Heavenly Father, you guide our path. Let us discover the right thing to do, and let us do it this day and every day that we live. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker, because every praise belongs to God.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
to our God. to lift your hands and praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Amen. Praise be to God. Every praise belongs to him. And now that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now it is time for our lesson. At this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore will come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Yes. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Thank you. Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Wonderful. Are the people on the line with us?
Nope. Not yet.
I'm going to open in prayer. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants assembled at this 7 o'clock hour to study basic theology. Lord, we're trying to learn more about you and your ways and your words, your teachings, life. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day that we've never seen before. We thank you for all that you are, all that you will ever be in our lives, Father God. We thank you for making a way out of no way. Thank you for life, health, breath, strength, finances, a roof over our heads, shoes on our feet, clothes on our back, food on our table, friends and family and enemies too, Lord. We thank you for all of the things that allow us to become more like you. And God, I pray that as we study this message, your word, your teaching, that no one will be offended, that they will all just take it in and use their God-given brains and their talent to comprehend and to regurgitate, if you will, the information that is being sent out. So we thank you for that, and bless each and every person that's on the line, bless their homes, bless their families. They need a blessing, whether it's mental, physical, financial, spiritual, relationally, whatever way, we need a blessing, Lord God. I know that you're able, I know that you can, and I know that you will, if it's in your will. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. God, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So thank you for everything. All these blessings I ask in the Master's name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Beautiful prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to continue our lesson, Christ, Prophet, Priest, and King. And we're talking about page 295, section D, the authentication of Christ as prophet. Tell me, is Christ reigning as king at the moment?
Yes.
No.
Yes, he's reigning.
Not here on earth.
No, in heaven.
Not here on earth.
Right.
What?
He's reigning. Yeah, he's not reigning here on earth, but he's reigning in heaven. Let's put it that way.
Okay, my question was, is he reigning as king?
Well, you didn't say earth or heaven.
No, I didn't, but you said yes.
Yes, I said yes, he's reigning in heaven.
All right. Well, after I got into it more, but anyway, as we'll find out from the rest of the lesson, he's not reigning as king yet, not here on earth. And hopefully we'll get to the end of this chapter today. And if not, we don't, okay?
It's a long
so,
one.
Section D, the authentication of Christ as prophet. Is he reigning as prophet?
He was when he was down here on earth. Everything that he predicted came to fruition in his time.
Did everything he predicted come to pass in his time?
Well, he predicted his death. He predicted what's going to happen during the tribulation times, but we haven't gotten there yet to the tribulation, but so far whatever he had predicted has came true, his death and all of that, his disciples.
So you're saying everything has been fulfilled that he prophesied?
Yes. I could be wrong, but yeah, for me, I'm just saying about me. I'm not saying anybody else.
Well, we're talking to you, so it can't be for your cousin. We're talking about you. What do you think? All right. So, the Lord commanded that false prophets be stoned, Deuteronomy 13:5-10. Of course, if a prophet lived to the time when his prophecy was either fulfilled or not, you could easily tell if he were a true or false prophet. If he did not, then it was more difficult. What does that say?
Well, what he had prophesied during his time, well, we saw that it came true, but what happened afterwards is what they're saying that is hard to, say if it was, you know, true or not.
So, our Lord's prophetic ministry was authenticated in two ways. By the fact that some of his prophecies came true in his lifetime, and by the miracles that verified to the people of his day that he was a true prophet. The test case is his detailed prediction of his death. He prophesied that someone close to him would betray him. Matthew 26:21. That his death would be instigated by the Jewish leaders. Matthew 16:21. that he would die by the crucifixion, and that 3 days later he would come back to life, Matthew 20 and 19. For anyone to be able to give this kind of detail about his death, and for these details to come true, authenticates him as a true prophet. In addition, some of Christ's miracles were directly linked as attesting to his being a true prophet. Luke 7:16, John 4:19, John 9:17. Truly in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, Hebrews 1:1-2. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy 13, verse 5.
You okay?
Well, I'm trying to combat a cold, but other than that, I'll be all right. Thank you.
Okay. 13 and 5 says, come on, where's 5? Okay. 4, 5. The false prophets or visionaries who try to lead you astray must be put to death, for they encourage rebellion against the Lord your God, who redeemed you from slavery and brought you out of the land of Egypt. Since they tried to lead you astray from the way the Lord your God commanded you to live, you must put them to death. In this way, you will purge the evil from among you. Amen.
Wow. What does that mean, if anything, to you?
Well, to me, he's like telling us not to believe in these false prophets because they're like leading us down the wrong path. So, mm-hmm. And what? Because sometimes they predict things gonna happen and then it never happens. So.
Mm-hmm. And so they recommend that the person be put to death.
Yes.
That way it will purge that evilness from among people.
Right.
And verse 10?
10 says, 9, 10. Stone the guilty ones to death because they have tried to draw you away from the Lord your God, who rescues you from the land of Egypt, the place of slavery. So he's saying to stone them to death because, like you said, they're false prophets and they're trying to lead us away from the Lord instead of drawing us to him. So they
Amen.
Have to put them
Amen.
To death so they don't, you know, corrupt the whole entire tribe or community.
Amen, amen. And I'll just read a portion of mine. It says, let's go and worship some other god.
Mm.
This is what the prophet might be saying.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I take it from 6. And when your brother or son or daughter or even your dear wife or lifelong friend comes to you in secret and whispers, let's go and worship some other god,
mm-hmm.
God that you know nothing about, neither you nor your ancestors, the gods of the peoples around you, near and far, from one end of the earth to the other. Don't go along with him. Set your ears. Don't feel sorry for him, and don't make excuses for him. Kill him. That's right, kill him. You throw the first stone, excuse me. Take action at once and swiftly, with everybody in the community getting in on it at the end. Stone him with stones so that he dies. Wow. He tried to turn you, traitor, against God, your God, the one who got you out of Egypt and the world of slavery. That's a very strong statement.
So it's like you're going from one slavery into another slavery.
And away from God.
Yes. Exactly.
That's the main thing. Matthew 26 and 21.
21. Matthew 26. While they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. Amen. And we all know who that one was betrayed.
Who was that?
Judas.
Right. Judas Iscariot.
Yes.
Let's look at Matthew 16 and 21.
Okay. And 21. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious laws. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. Amen.
Amen. Wow. And thank God for that third day.
Amen.
Thank God for that third day. Okay, let's look at 20 and 19. Still in Matthew.
Yes. 19. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead.
Oh, God. Let it go.
All of that, they still couldn't keep him in the grave. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Luke.
Hallelujah.
Luke 7 and verse 16.
Okay. Ambulance are very busy out here today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. People running around with machetes.
With what?
Some guy chasing another guy with a machete.
Oh, machete.
Machete, shady, yeah.
What's that on TV?
No, it came up on the Citizen app. They always tell you what's going on in the neighborhood.
Oh, goodness.
It'll probably be on the news later.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Luke 17:16. Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, a mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today. What's the verse before?
Amen.
In the day. Oh,
okay. Any comments on that?
No, I was wondering what they were speaking about, but it was like when he raised the boy from the dead.
The miracles, John 4.
Yes.
John 4 and 19.
Okay, John 4 and 19. John 4. 17, 18, and 19. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Amen. That's all she said. All she said was, sir, you must be a prophet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is the woman at the well.
Yes.
That's so why did you say that?
Huh?
What's that?
Why did you say that? Oh, because he asked her for some water, and she told him that a Jew asks in a what was she?
Samaritan.
a Samaritan for water. They don't they hate each other. But
right, and then he had said something about go get your husband, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And she said, I'm not married.
But he said, yeah, you have a few of them.
You had five of them, and the one you're with now is not your husband.
Right.
Amen. So let's look at John 9 and 17.
Okay. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, what's your opinion about this man who healed you? The man replied, I think he must be a prophet.
Amen.
I guess back in those days, they it seemed like only the prophets and them did miracles and things. So they
prophets and they had sorcerers also. Remember the woman that was following
that was following John,
following Peter, I think, or Paul. I forget which one. I think
Paul.
It was Peter.
Paul. Yeah, it was Paul.
And they had to tell them, you know, to stop doing that. You're selling, you know, a gift, and that's not, you don't do that. You don't sell that. All right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hebrews 1 through 2.
Oh, boy. Okay, all the way back here, Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews 1:1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors from the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. God promised everything to the son as an inheritance, and through the son, he created the universe. Amen.
All right. Amen again.
Amen.
All right. Any thoughts about that before we go into Christ as Priest, part two?
No, just like back in those days, everybody had to go through the prophets and priests. But now that Jesus came and down and died, we can go through directly to the Father through him.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. In his name.
Part two, Christ as Priest. The prophet spoke to men from God. The priest speaks to God for men. Being of the tribe of Judah disqualified Christ from being Aaronic priest. Therefore, God arranged ahead of his coming for another order of priests, the order of Melchizedek. And Christ is a priest of that order with respect to his person and his work. Yet there are similarities between Aaronic priests and Christ as priest, both in his person and his work. Any thought about that?
Right. So the prophets. So like it's saying now, the prophets spoke to God, and then from there, the priest speaks to. The prophets, they spoke to God. Then the priest spoke to God for us, for the people. And then he sent, because Christ was from what? The tribe of Judah, that he wasn't qualified to speak. So he had to send another prophet, Melchizedek.
Yeah, from another order of priests.
Yes. Because God was the one that picked the priests, right?
But they came through the line of Aaron, excuse me, Moses' brother.
Yes.
So any of his descendants were considered priests if they came through the line of Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
So if you came from another tribe, as they were saying, Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, so he was disqualified
from
being an Aaronic priest. Therefore, God had to arrange for him for coming from another line, which was Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we know that he was a priest that appeared on the scene, we think, famously out of nowhere. They say he had no mother or no father, but it wasn't mentioned in the Bible. But he had to have one somewhere to be born, right?
God put him there.
Well,
that's
so
why they
the prophet.
Know. Yeah.
So the prophet spoke to men from
mm-hmm.
God.
Yeah.
The prophet spoke to us
yes.
from God.
Right.
If he was a true prophet, and God speaks to men through the priest, or
mm-hmm.
I should say the priest speaks to God for men. So that's why you had that third party where when you want to say something to God, you had to go through the priest.
Yes.
To convey the message. Right.
Right.
So, and they still do that in Catholicism.
Yeah.
Right. You still have to go to confessional and, you know, you go in that little confessional booth, I guess,
yeah.
and make your confessions to a man.
Exactly.
To forgive your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So that, yeah. as far as I know, has not changed. But the prophet spoke to men from God, and if they came in any other way, they were false prophets anyway.
Exactly.
If they came under their own saying that they saying something or... And I don't even know if they would say, you know, that it was coming from them because they wanted people to believe and follow whatever they were directing them to do.
Mm.
But what was the test of whether they were true prophets or not?
I don't know. You said what was the true prophets?
What was the defining line that let us know that they were true prophets or not?
The tribes.
No.
Oh, the true. If they were true prophets, if they predict that something is going to happen, and it doesn't happen during their time, then it was hard for people to believe in that prophet because now they consider them as false prophets because what they
right.
did not come true.
Exactly. So it was a matter of what they prophetically professed
yes.
coming to be or being manifested or not. And sometimes, like with Isaiah, what he prophesied was that Jesus Christ is coming.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say how long.
No.
But how long after that did he come? About how long after that did he come?
Oh, how many years?
Yeah, many years, obviously, but about how many years?
Oh, I forgot.
7 years. 700 years later.
700 years later.
700 years later.
Oh, okay.
So, of course, people were probably looking at Isaiah as a false prophet because they didn't see any manifestation of what he had prophesied. But
that,
in God's timing, the Savior came. Amen?
Right. Amen.
Everything.
Praise God.
So the Aaronic priest, section A. An Aaronic priest had to be a man chosen by God and qualified for his work, Leviticus 21, Hebrews 5, 1 through 7. Our God, chosen, incarnate, tested, qualified in his person to be a ministering priest. Aaronic priests served by representing the people to God and especially in offering sacrifices. Their sacrifices were many, repeated, and not in themselves eternally efficacious. What does that mean?
Efficacious?
That whole little section I just read.
The more people, they couldn't keep the law at that time, so they kept sinning. And every year, they were killing more and more animals.
And that's God true, had too, but...
had to put a stop to them.
But this portion that I just read, I'll read it again. Aaronic priests served by representing the people to God, and especially in offering sacrifices. Again, sacrifices for their sins to be forgiven, right?
Yes.
Their sacrifices were many, repeated, and not in themselves eternally efficacious. So what does that mean?
If it wasn't in them for themselves, then who were they sacrificing the animals for?
For God. That's a given. They were giving a sacrifice to God. They couldn't give it for themselves, to one another. So it was a sacrifice to God. That's a given.
Okay.
But it's saying that they were many and they were repeated and not in themselves always effective. And it had to be efficacious. And it had to be that way for it to have to be done year after year after year.
Right.
Until... So that's showing that it was that it was not efficacious. It wasn't effective. It didn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because they kept sinning and they kept sacrificing. They kept killing animals and sprinkling the blood and,
yes,
you know, doing that over and over, atoning for sins. But they kept on sinning and
yes,
they kept on killing animals and sprinkling blood and, you know, they don't call it defiling, but sprinkling blood in the temple. And I can imagine that sight. God, can you?
Oh, man. Well, I'm sure it was as it looked just like the sight when they were flogging Jesus and, you know, the last movie that was his name. So
wow,
you can imagine. And all those animals and all that blood.
But I would hope that in between sacrifices it was cleaned up. And I
well,
would think so, but just the point.
We don't know.
No, but I'm saying I would think it would have been cleaned up so that they could do another sacrifice at a later date.
Yeah.
We don't know. But
then if it was every day, and then we didn't know how many times a day, well, they could have cleaned it up, or they could have just, like, wait till the end of the day when all the sacrifices
were
done. Yeah.
Whenever, I'm just saying, in between sacrifices, I would hope someone would have cleaned it up.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
And it says they were many, and they...
No, I said okay.
They were many and they were repeated. mm-hmm. and not in themselves always effective. They did make atonement for sin in the context of the theosophy, but the writer to the Hebrews makes it clear that they mm-hmm. had they been able to affect eternal satisfaction for sin, there would have been no need for their repetition year after year. And we see that in Hebrews 10, verses 2 through 3. In contrast, our Lord's sacrifice of himself for our sins was a single sacrifice once for all and for all mankind.
Amen.
And this, his great work of redemption.
Mm.
He did a work that was foreshadowed by the work of the Aaronic priest, even though he was not a priest after the order of Aaron. So he did a work that was told about, prophesied about,
right.
by the work of the priest, even though he was not a priest after the order of Aaron. Excuse me. Let's take a look at
Leviticus
21.
Okay. Numbers. Exodus. Leviticus 21. 22. Okay, do they want us to read the whole chapter?
The whole chapter, 21.
It's short. I'll read it. Okay.
Okay.
Rules for the priests. The Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the priests, the descendants of Aaron. A priest must not make himself ceremonially unclean by touching the dead bodies of a relative. The only exceptions are his closest relative, his mother or father, son or daughter, brother, or his virgin sister who depends on him because she has no husband. But a priest must not defile himself and make himself unclean for someone who is related to him only by marriage. The priest must not shave their heads or trim their beards or cut their bodies. They must be set apart as holy to their God and must never bring shame on the name of God. They must be holy, for they are the ones who present the special gifts to the Lord, gifts of food for their God. Priests may not marry a woman defiled by prostitution, and they may not marry a woman who is divorced from her husband, for the priests are set apart as holy to their God. You must treat them as holy because they offer up food to your God. You must consider them holy because I, the Lord, am holy, and I make you holy. If a priest's daughter defiles herself by becoming a prostitute, she also defiles her father's holiness, and she must be burned to death.
Mm.
Wow. The high priest has the highest rank of all the priests. The anointing oil has been poured on his head, and he has been ordained to wear the priestly garments. He must never leave his hair uncombed or tear his clothing. He must not defile himself by going near a dead body. He may not make himself ceremonially unclean. Even for his father or mother, he must not defile the sanctuary of his God by leaving it to attend to a dead person.
for he has been made holy by the anointing oil of his God. I am the Lord. The high priest may marry only a virgin. He may not marry a widow, a woman who is divorced, or a woman who has defiled herself by prostitution. She must be a virgin from his own clan, so that he will not dishonor his descendants among his clan. For I am the Lord who makes him holy. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to Aaron and all future generations. None of your descendants who has any defect will qualify to offer food to his God. No one who has a defect qualifies, whether he is blind, lame, disfigured, deformed, or has a broken foot or arm, or is hunchbacked, or dwarf, or has a defective eye, or skin sore or scab, or damaged testicles. No descendant of Aaron must have, of Aaron who has a defect may approach the altar to present special gifts to the Lord. Since he has a defect, he may not approach the altar to offer food to his God. Verse 22. However, he may eat from the food offered to God, including the holy offering and the most holy offering. Yet, because of his physical defect, he may not enter the room behind the inner curtain or approach the altar, for this would defile my holy place. I am the Lord who makes them holy. So Moses gave these instructions to Aaron and his sons and to all the Israelites. Amen. Wow.
So remember when we talked about in Malachi that they wanted to offer, you know, defective animals and all of that kind of stuff, and God refused to accept them.
Yes.
And so now we see that he doesn't even want the man to be defective. Right? He can't be lame. He can't be blind. He can't have sores. He can't have this or that or that or this.
Nope.
He's got to be basically perfect.
Exactly.
In his physical condition. All right?
Amen.
That's what he said, and that's what he means. All right?
Yeah. And
don't want any defective anybody trying to come and offer sacrifices to me. I am the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm not taking nothing. I'm not taking anything less. I tell you what I want.
Nothing
right.
But the best. That's what
nothing
he
but,
wants.
Right. Nothing but the best.
And that's the same thing he wants from us. Nothing but our best.
Of course.
When we go to him in prayer, we bring our best to him.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Hebrews 5, 1 through 7.
Okay.
I'll read it.
All right.
Every high priest selected to represent men and women before God and offer sacrifices for their sins should be able to deal gently with their failings, since he knows what it's like from his own experience. But that also means that he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as the people. No one elects himself to this honored position. He's called to it by God, as Aaron was. Neither did Christ presume to set himself up as high priest, but was set apart was set apart by the one who said to him, you are my son. Today I celebrate you. In another place, God declares, you're a priest forever in the royal order of Melchizedek. Amen. While he lived on earth anticipating death, Jesus cried out in pain and wept in sorrow as he offered up priestly prayers to God. Because he honored God, God answered him. Though he was God's son, he learned trusting, obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. Then, having arrived at the full stature of his maturity and having been announced by God as high priest to the order of Melchizedek, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who believingly obey him.
Amen.
And I read through verse 10.
Okay.
Amen.
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 Wow.
So let's put a pin. Yeah. Wow. So you have to be pure. You cannot be defective or any other kind of way when you're presenting your goods to God,
exactly.
Your offering to God. He's not going to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't take anything. And we know that he says, come as you are.
Mm-hmm.
But in that sense, he's not talking about making a sacrifice to him as you are.
Exactly.
Okay, he only takes it from the priestly tribe, all right?
Yep.
At that time. Today we can come to him, you know, being not
Thank
from the tribe
you.
Of Aaron.
Thank
but at
you,
that
Jesus.
Time, you have to be from the tribe of Aaron, from the
yes.
priestly tribe of Aaron.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, that we can
Thank
go,
you,
to, the, go to the Father. Woo!
So we're going to put a pin in it right here, and we're going to look at the homework.
B, we stopped at B, right?
Yeah. Okie dokie. 9, 2, 20. John. Mark.
So the homework assignment was, what is the tribulation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I put what the tribulation, what is the tribulation? According to the Bible prophecy, the tribulation is a 7-year period that will begin immediately following the rapture. Evil will spread without restraint. So, but Matthew's 24, I read Matthew's 24, which tells us the whole entire, where Jesus was speaking on Mount Olivet, was telling us about, you know, the tribulation and what's going to happen. So actually, Matthew's, he summed up the, well, he didn't sum it up. Jesus summed up the whole thing, because throughout the whole 24, chapter 24, is Jesus was speaking. And then I said, after I said, what is the tribulation? Then I said, what is the great tribulation? And the great tribulation will bring the greatest time of trouble ever to come upon mankind. According to the Bible prophecy, it will occur during the last days. And that's where I went, and Matthew was telling us about that, Matthew 24:1-51.
Mm-hmm.
And then I
All
said,
right.
why did it start? Well, the tribulation, I put, is a 7-year period which immediately precedes the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then the third question was, what was the third question? When is it supposed to start? But the Bible teaches it is imminent. It could occur at any time, any moment. We don't know, because John, in Revelation 6, when John begins to describe the tribulation period, so even nobody knows, not even the Son. That's what I put for my questions.
Wonderful for your answer, right?
Yes.
Wonderful. Good job. Good job.
Thank you.
And I wrote, and you gave extra, which is always great.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer, what is the tribulation?
Mm-hmm.
The great tribulation in Christian eschatology is the period mentioned by Christ Jesus in the Olivet Discourse as a sign that would occur in the time of the end. You see Revelation 7 and 14. It is a seven-year period according to biblical prophecy that will begin immediately following the rapture.
Mm.
What is the rapture?
I think the rapture is the end time. I'm not sure. And I looked at the rapture, but I didn't write it down.
I'm trying to lift the phone ring. We're going to do that. That's homework. What is the rapture?
Okay, let me write that down before I forget.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
I love this.
What is the rapture? What?
And we know that the tribulation follows the rapture, right?
Yes. That's
immediately following the tribulation. So today is the 7th, so this is for the 14th, God willing.
Today is the 8th.
Today is the 8th? Okay, so it's the 15th.
Okay.
Thank you.
8, 15.
For homework.
20.
What is the rapture for next week?
Homework.
But getting back to the, what happened?
No, I'm waiting for you to get back to it.
Okay, I'm back to it now. So,
okay.
Following the rapture, this is what prophecy predicted. Evil will spread without restraint.
Mm-hmm.
The diseases, natural disasters, wars, and devastation we see in our world today are but a taste of the atrocities to come. Excuse me. That's when the Antichrist will sit at the center of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Evil as he personifies Satan. Christians will escape it. That's the good news.
Amen.
Christians will escape the tribulation. But we have to keep in mind that it follows the rapture, and the rapture is just not answering the homework, just a portion of it. It's when Jesus comes back and all the believers are caught up that are alive, that still remain, caught up to be with him,
yes.
Okay? And then once the believers are caught up to be with Jesus, that's when the trials will come, 7 years of atrocities, and wars, and devastation, diseases, and stuff that Satan reigns in, okay? So I want to take a look at Revelation 7 and 14, and then Revelation 3 and 10. So 7 and 14, read.
3 and 10. Okay,
7 and 14.
because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So who is that speaking to?
Jesus is speaking to the believers.
Amen.
And,
amen.
And you know, everything is going to stop. It starts after the seven seals are open. So the seven churches.
Uh-huh.
That's when
the
tribulation.
The tribulation starts.
Yes.
Okay.
According to Revelation.
Then, looking at 7 and 14, my stars at 13, says Revelation. Just then, one of the elders addressed me. Who are these dressed in white robes, and where did they come from? Taken aback, I said, oh, sir, I have no idea, but you must know. Then he said, these are those who come from the great tribulation, and they wash their robes, scrub them clean in the blood of the Lamb. That's why they're standing before God's throne. They serve him day and night in his temple. The one at the throne will pitch his tent there for them. No more hunger, no more thirst, no more scorching heat. The Lamb on the throne will shepherd them, will lead them to spring waters of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So those in white robes will be those who have come through the tribulation.
Yes.
Amen. Washed in the blood
the,
of the Lamb.
Is that the 1,200?
1,200? You mean the 144,000?
12,000.
I don't know anything about the 12,000. I know 144,000.
Oh, yes. Right. Oh, the 12,000.
Yeah, 144,000. No.
No.
It doesn't say that. It says those who have come through the tribulation.
Right, right. But I was thinking of something else. No, I was thinking about
that. I know. That's why I'm saying it doesn't say
that.
It doesn't say that, so I'm not going to try to, you know, say what it doesn't say, so I don't know.
No, I was asking
it's the best answer.
Yeah.
I know, and I was answering the question. I said, I don't know.
Okay.
And I don't think that's who they were referring to when it said, because it says that I see a number,
mm-hmm.
and that's people that were approaching. It wasn't the ones with the white robes on necessarily.
Okay.
All right. John said he saw a number of 144,000. And another
right.
number that wasn't even numerable, I should say, more than can be counted, that were there. And that's the other Gentiles other than the 12 tribes of Israel. So
right.
That concludes our lesson for today. You have any questions?
Well, no, it was a beautiful lesson. I loved it, especially when we got to the homework.
Yay. Okay.
And next week is going to be even better. We're going to talk about the
Amen.
Rapture.
Amen. The rapture. Yes. That's our homework for next week. So if you
Amen.
Would take us out in prayer, thank you.
Precious and Heavenly Father, once again, we come as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, honor, and praise. Lord God, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful lesson this evening, our teacher.
Yes.
Bless this lesson. Bless our teacher, Lord God, for just
thank you,
being
God.
Who she is and opening up our minds to think, our hearts to receive
Hallelujah.
What God says, Lord, and preparing us for the coming of your second coming, Lord God. We thank
Hallelujah.
You. We honor and adore you. We ask that you continue to watch over us, bless us, bless
yes.
our homes, bless our families, bless our neighbors, Lord God. Bless those on
yes.
Facebook, YouTube, and X. No longer Twitter, but X. And we thank you. We ask that you bless our pastor and first lady, bless the Boldens, Reverend Bolden and Deaconess Bolden, bless our brother Jake, and bless our associate pastor, Reverend Price, and pastors Stephen and Kathy Dubose, Lord God. We ask that you watch over each and every one of us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Heal us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, Lord God. We know that you are the only one that can do it. We trust you. We love you. We honor and adore you. And one day you will come and receive us unto yourself. And we ask all of this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us.
Hallelujah.
In the way that you would have us to go. Let your will be done in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thanks for that wonderful prayer.
Amen.
Be blessed. Love
bless
you, hugs, kisses, and blessings.
Love you, hugs, and kisses. You coming tomorrow or you have rehearsal?
Yes, God willing, I'll be with you tomorrow. I have to study my lesson. I didn't get to it yet, but
okay,
God
it's
willing,
all about
I'll be with you.
Forgiveness, and you know all about forgiveness.
Okay, all right. I didn't even get to look at it yet. But
yes,
God willing, I'll be with you, okay?
Okay. Love you. Have a good
Give
night.
Give Keisha a hug for me. You
I will.
Too. Love
I'll
you.
Take him
Shalom.
Outside now. he's
okay, the weather's nice,
for
but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Talk to you soon, God willing. Shalom.
Okay. Good night. Shalom.
Okay. Good night.
And we are out. Thank you for you.